go into God's word just right away. Let us agree in prayer. Let us agree in prayer quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord. We've come to fellowship in the word this evening. We declare and decree that our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts take the posture of humility to receive your word this evening. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and in precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Praise be God. So we're having a very interesting series right now as a church, and we're dealing with generosity, God's divine plan. What is God's plan for giving? How are we to give as saints, and how are we not to give as saints? You know, the topic of giving is a very interesting topic, and it's quite controversial because of the too many aspects that, you know, we've grown up to learn about. So it's really controversial because we always have, you know, so many people say so many things and so many whatever, not at what have you. Yeah, so I would admonish as much as possible to, you know, to get your heart in a place to receive God's word, because we are not going to be saying the conventional things, you know, the sow up. If you want to go up, you sow up and things like that. If you're suffering, check your offering. If you don't want your life to be tight, pay your tithe, and all those things we end up saying as Christians, you know. And like I always say, it takes a lot of insincerity to not know that nobody gets rich or nobody gets wealthy by giving, either sowing seed or first fruit or last seedling or whatever name you want to call it, really. You know, we are people that, as Christians, we've been told so many things while growing up, and it looks like, you know, and we have a few people who seemingly say that they have results from these practices, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we have more people who don't have results than the so-called people. Yeah, so that's to tell you that even the so-called people who have results, then we need to really critically examine what they mean by results. You know, someone tells you something that, oh, I got a contract because I gave my tithe. I got a contract because I sold the seed to the pastor's life. You know, but they fail to tell you that they gave an offering to the secretary, to bribe the secretary so that they could get the contract. We always like to polish God, you know, always like to wash and exalt, you know, testimonies and make it look too spooky and over spiritual. You know, really, in examining God's word, there is no biblical way for wealth. Yeah, when I mean wealth, now the wealth I'm talking about is physical wealth, acquisition. Yeah, when you have, you know what you call the dollar, the pound sterling, and you know what you call those yen currencies. Yeah, there is no biblical principle to get rich. Like I would say, I used to believe those very interesting conversations, but really, I've come to understand that I was in self-deceit, or rather, I was living in a delusion. What do I mean? I did a post recently. I said something. I said, for me to have believed that seed sowing and all these tithing things and all these whatever things, whatever name you call it, really, you know, for me to have believed that it works or it worked, I was living in insincerity. You know, I was living in total insincerity. You know, so we have lots of Christians that end up going into depression because of seemingly unanswered questions have not been answered by their pastors. You know, our pastors, or we pastors, so to say. You know, we have people that have questions. They bring, reach out to us with their questions, but we try to turn it away. We try to just put it aside and just be like, yeah, we'll know on the last day and things like that, you know. So we're just trying to examine God's word. No pressure on us. No pressure to learn everything at once. Really, it's a long journey. Yeah, this issue of giving would ideally should take us about 6 months to explain. But for now, we're going to just do the basics and fundamentals on Christian giving and what God, you know, expects from us, you know, from scriptures. Now, it is easy to actually go into error while trying to correct one other error. What do I mean? Yeah, after or having seen the error that has been established in the churches today about giving and tithing and things like that, sometimes trying to re-explain or to explain from God's word what it really means, you know, you could end up mistakenly going into error. That's why you hear someone say that anybody that gives tithe is foolish or stupid or something like that, you know, and all those kind of questions. So really, we're going to answer all those questions in this series. So usually we call it reactional theology. Yeah, when someone says one, you know, when someone is saying all the people that are collecting tithe are thieves, they are robbers and things like that. Yeah, you are just reacting. You are presenting a theology out of emotions, really. You know, so, and it's really tricky because when you see the amount of people who practice these so-called principles, you know, and it doesn't work. You know, that alone can fuel your emotion somehow positively to try to explain it. And, you know, in explaining it, you might be careful or you might not be careful enough and you explain away some things. Yeah, so it's important for us as saints that in trying to explain an error or in trying to correct an error, we don't get into a deeper error. Yeah, so the moment you start hearing you are not to give, then you have gotten into error. Yeah, the moment you hear someone trying to explain why, you know, tithing and sin doesn't work, and he now says you should not give, yeah, you are using one error to tackle another error. Hallelujah. So, because of the passion a lot of people have, we begin to play away the fundamental teachings from scriptures. So, we're really examining, why do we give? Why are we to give? How do we give? How do we not give? You know, it's a very interesting conversation that we need to really look at as saints. It's very fundamental to our Christian faith. Yeah, tithe, 10%, 20%, 50%. If you don't pay your tithe, I will cause Devorah to destroy you. Or all those kind of, you know, when you pay your tithe, God will open a window for you to see some, you know, some business principles. No, all those things that's delusion. Anyone that tells you they've gotten rid from seed sowing, there's something they are not telling you. Yeah, there's something they are not telling you. In fact, not there's something, there are a lot they are not telling. Nobody gets rich by giving. Yeah, when you give, it has gone. Yeah, so let me just take an example. Yeah, you're earning 100,000 naira. Your tithe, ideally 10%, is 10,000 naira. When you give that 10,000 naira, you must see it as something you've given that has gone. Yeah, it's not something you give expecting a 100-fold reward. No, it doesn't happen that way. If that is the way it happens, no Christian on earth should be poor. Because you just realize that, you want to buy a house by the end of December. Yeah, you have 100,000 naira in your account. Pick 400,000 naira, go sow as a seed to a pastor, and by faith wait for it to happen by December. No, it doesn't work that way. So when you give, you must have it, you must find it in a place in your heart to realize that it has gone. Yeah. See, with God, 100 minus 10 is 90. See, we've lived in delusion to believe that 100 minus 10 is 90 and 100 folds. No. No, it's delusion. It's delusion. When you have 50,000 naira and you give a pastor 5,000 naira, you give a pastor 50,000 naira, yeah, you don't give expecting. You give as an end in itself, not a means to an end. You know, so a lot of us have questions, unanswered questions. You know, there's a difference between giving up and giving down. When you want to go up, you sow up. When you want to go down, you don't. You know, your giving up must be more than your giving down. You know all those kind of transactional kind of God. Yeah, but in the real sense, if we do not have a proper understanding of our God, we would obviously and definitely have an erroneous practice of our Christian faith amongst brethren. If you see God as one who collects from you to give back, yeah, rub my back and rub your back, that's the way we relate more with people. Yeah, if you see God as someone who, before he gives you something, what we so-called call blessing, if you want God to bless you, sow a seed to an anointed man of God. If you want to tap into an anointing, sow a seed. No, all those things are delusive things. They are not things taught by Jesus. They are not things taught by none of the apostles. Yeah, if you are suffering, check your offering. No, if you are suffering, it goes as much to show that your source of income is not sufficient to feed you or to fuel your wants or your needs. So if you are suffering, you are not to check your offering. You are to check where or how to get a better source of income. For a country like Nigeria that, you know, we live in, even though it looks like we have so many Christians, yeah, yet very few Christians can actually boast of even meeting their basic needs. Not once this time. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at giving, and you know, really, if you want to search the meaning of giving on the internet, you can as well do that. You'll definitely get definitions from dictionary and things like that. But since we are saints, we are to examine giving as saints. We are to examine giving using our textbook as saints. Hallelujah. Yeah, so, you know, I said something earlier on Sunday. I said, you know, if you have the ability or capacity to own something, yeah, if you have the ability to own something, then it means that you have the ability to give something. So anybody that has the ability to own something, you have the ability to give something. Yeah, but some people give more than the other. Some people give as an end in itself. Some people give as a means to an end. So let's start from somewhere very interesting. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Yeah, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. So what it says there, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Yeah, that word there, study, is the Greek word that means spiradazo. And it really means be diligent. You be eager. Have an attitude of diligence. Yeah, so be diligent to show thyself. That word there is similarly used in the same 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9. Yeah, and it says, be diligent to show thyself as one who is approved of God. Now, that says a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, so there is a right way of dividing the word of truth. There is a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. That word there, rightly dividing, is a single Greek word in the Greek manuscript. Yeah, and it really means carefully handling. Yeah, so Paul tells Timothy, Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy, tells Timothy, be diligent to show thyself as one who is approved of God. A workman, that word there, workman, is a laborer, a toiler, that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, so there's a right way to divide the word of truth, and there's a wrong way to divide the word of truth. Yeah, Paul tells you something, so look at it. Look at Galatians 1:6. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. You know, we have people who believe that God can reveal personal revelations to them in the 20th or 21st century. You know, people believe that, oh, the way the Acts of the Apostle is, you can have your name to Acts of Joshua. Yeah, so you now begin to say this is the way God explains scriptures to you in your dream. No. See what Paul tells them to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So it makes us know that there's something called another gospel. Yeah, another gospel. Look at verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So there is something called another gospel, which most likely will be gotten from wrongly dividing scriptures. Yeah, I'm just trying to quote from 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Look at verse 8. Look at what Paul says, which is very instructive. He says, but though we, yeah, Paul includes himself, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached. Yeah, so if we preach, so Paul is saying, if I preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have already preached unto you, let whoever that person be accursed. What does it mean to be accursed? That word there, accursed, is the Greek word that means to be separated, to put aside, do not go close to, do not touch. Yeah, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Look at verse 9. It says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Don't go close to. So when you see another gospel, it looks like the gospel. Yeah, looks like the gospel. You know, the truth is that as believers, we are not called to have various doctrines. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4 quickly. Yeah, there's nothing like the way God, this is my own personal revelation. Yeah, this is the way God woke me up at 3:22 a.m. and tapped me and said, Apostle Joshua Yusuf, yeah, go to your reading table and go and see. There's a mystery I want to show you that Paul did not know. Paul tells you, if we or any other angel or an angel should preach something different from what we have preached, don't go close to such. Look at Ephesians 4, the same Paul, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, which are teachers. Look at the reason why we have ministry gifts. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's something called perfecting of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yeah, so there is the work of ministry that every saint is called to. Yeah, so every saint has a work of ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away, all things are become new. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, he has not given us the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul now says, now as ambassadors, we are to grow in Christ's stead. So there is a ministry for everyone who has believed the gospel. So the ministry for every saint is not, see, serving Five Alive in your pastor's cup is not a ministry. No, it's a form of rendering service among saints. Carrying your pastor's Bible is not a ministry. Look at it. Let me say this way. If you are consistent at carrying your pastor's Bible, but don't do the work of ministry God has called you to do, you have succeeded in not doing ministry. What you have done is rendering service among saints. So when Paul tells you in Ephesians 4 verse 12, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there is a work of ministry. See, work of ministry is not trying to pilot your pastor away from the altar into his office. That's not work of ministry. That is a form of rendering service among friends. Yeah, but there is something that has been received upon resurrection. That's the work of ministry. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, till we all come into the unity of faith. Unity of faith. So there is a coming into the unity of faith. Yeah. What is unity of faith? That word here, and, is the Greek word that is kai, which means which is or that is. So that word and is not always used as a conjunction joining two different people. Yeah. Donald and Buhari. No. So that and there is actually explaining Donald and Trump. So which is Donald that is Trump. Yeah. So till we come into the unity of faith that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. That same word, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship. No, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the love of God, which is, so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is equal to the love of God, is equal to the fellowship or the supply of the Spirit. So how do we know the love of God? We see it as the supply of the Spirit, which is actually the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing here. So, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the, that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. So, as saints, no matter the denomination you attend, we are to say the same thing concerning the knowledge of the Son of God. So, we are to have one common knowledge. See, there's nothing like, this is the way God acts my denomination. So if two people speak two different things from one verse, it's either both of them are wrong or one of them is wrong. Yeah, there's nothing like, this is my personal revelation. No. This is my personal revelation. So, Paul's unity of faith is not really saying that all the churches in Area 1 or Durumi should come together and do inter-house sport at the end of the year. No, in as much as that is good, yeah, that is not what Paul was teaching about in 2 Ephesians 4. So, till we come, so we have apostles, prophets, and ministry gifts for the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith that is of the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So, we see something. The scriptures can never mean what it never meant when it was written. So, a verse of the Bible doesn't have 2 minutes, 3 minutes. No, it has 1 minute. That's the most difficult task for a believer right now. Yeah, one who has been born into a Christian home and is in his 20s or 30s. Yeah, I would assure you, yeah, if you had not been exposed to sound doctrine from the beginning of your years, you have most likely so much work to do. That's why you realize one who wasn't a Christian that becomes saved, yeah, is easier to teach God's word than one who has already, you know, been a Christian for years. Because a Christian will tell you that, oh, but it works. But it works, yeah? But my pastor said it works. My pastor shared this testimony, it works. No, results are not proofs that what you are doing is God's will, yeah? Results do not validate what we do. A lot of people are living in disobedience to God's will, but yet they have the result of cloud, of multitude, of money. So the end goal or the reward of obedience is the obedience in itself. Yeah, the blessedness of obedience is in the obedience in itself. It's not reward, it's not result. Think about it. One of the easiest ways to make money generally around the world is by dwelling and putting your feet into corruption. That you go into corruption and you have results doesn't mean what you did is right. That's what we do. A lot of us with our Christian faith. Oh, yeah, he can call your phone number. He can call your house address. See, ideally, every Christian should be able to do that. Yeah, it's not that every Christian should be able to walk in all the knowledge of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, so experiences don't validate lies. They don't, so that it works doesn't mean it's right. Hallelujah. You know, for instance, in a few months ago, we were explaining to God's word about something. The popular scripture people use for healing, by his stripes you are healed. You know, and we tried to look at God's word and we're able to see that, but when Isaiah was writing about by his stripes you are healed, he wasn't speaking about malaria, cancer, or whatever, or leukemia, or what of that. By his stripes you are healed. The healing Isaiah spoke about was explained by Peter in Peter's writing. And by his stripes you are healed is that because of the stripe, because of the work of Christ, you've received the healing, which is what? Forgiveness of sins. What is the sin in reference to that? Sin and death. Yeah, so by his stripes you are healed. It's for salvation, not for healing. Now, can a man be healed, which is spiritual healing, and be full of power, and heal malaria and cancer? Yes! Do you know people? I have personally used by his stripes you are healed to heal people. But the fact that he walks doesn't mean it is right. Yeah, I know people that are personally, you know, I know people that they've become rich by paying tithes. That's one of the most ridiculous things I've heard from a believer. In fact, let me say it better so that I personalize it. That's one of the most ridiculous things I've said as a believer. I know people who have gotten rich by paying their tithes. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've said as a believer. So we're looking at giving. We're just doing an introduction. So in giving, we said something. Look at Matthew 28. In giving, what matters the most is our motives. So in giving, our motives are very, 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 very important. Very, very important. Our motives behind giving are very important. Look at Matthew 28. Look at Matthew 28 verse 18. Look at Matthew 28 verse 18. We're trying to explain God's word, yeah? Why are we going to Matthew 28, 18? Because this is really the summary of what Jesus said, you know, in his 40 days teaching as said in Acts chapter 1. Look at Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word there, power, is the word authority. So all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah, if you are familiar with your Bible, you realize that word heaven and in earth, the first person to use that word in the Bible was Moses, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So to mean that when Jesus was saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, he was teaching from Moses. Okay, hold your thoughts there. We're going to see that shortly. Look at what it says. The church that you call the church today began from this conversation. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1 verse 2 and 3, until the day he was taken up by the Spirit, he was seen teaching and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom for 40 days. So Jesus had a seminar for 40 days back to back. He didn't do Suya night. He didn't do basketball game. He didn't do jump the chair, dance around it. No, he was teaching strictly for 40 days. What was he teaching about? Teaching about the kingdom of God. So it means that in Jesus' teaching, he did not for once mention anything about politics. That's why you see in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, after Jesus taught for 40 days, they asked him a question. Okay, look at all your thoughts. Go to Acts 1. Go to Acts 1. Go to Acts 1 quickly. Okay? Go to Acts 1 quickly. Go to Acts chapter 1 quickly. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Acts 1:2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking, that means speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. Hold your thoughts there. Hold your thoughts there. So if Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, look at the question they asked him in verse 6. That's after Jesus taught for 40 days. Verse 6, they asked him a question. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So it means that for the disciples to ask that question after a 40 days hot teaching, it means that Jesus did not teach about politics. It is a misuse of the oil or the gift of God upon a man's life as a pastor to be teaching on a Sunday about politics. God doesn't call people into politics. As a Christian, can you choose to be a governor? Yes, you can choose. It's your civic responsibility. It's your civic rights. Yeah, the same way you can choose to walk and choose to eat. So, Jesus taught for 40 days. They taught... Go back to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24 verse 21. Look at Luke 24 verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. This is after Jesus resurrected. Yeah, after during crucifixion and resurrection. So they were asking themselves, questions among themselves. But we trusted it had been he who should redeem Israel. Now remember, we always say, at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, the man that was in power over the Jewish people was an imposter. He wasn't from the Jewish lineage. So they thought Jesus was the one that was to redeem the government of Israel to a Jewish man. That's why they said, but we trusted it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since the things were done. So they thought he would be the one to redeem Israel, but he wasn't. Look at what happened in verse 24. A certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Look at 25. Look at what Jesus said to them. Jesus said unto them, O fools. Yeah, O fools. Why did he call them fools? Slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken. So it means that the prophet spoke some things, but because they did not believe, he called them O fools. Let me say better. Did the prophets write things and say things? Yes, a prophet is one who prophesies or says or speaks out God's counsel. Did they speak? Yes. What were they to do with what they spoke that was written? So Ezekiel spoke, it was written. Joel spoke, it was written. Habakkuk spoke, it was written. Malachi spoke, it was written. Moses spoke, it was written. What were they to do with what was spoken and was written? Yeah, they were to believe all the prophets spoke. What did the prophets now speak? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that you see and to enter into his glory? Look at what now happened. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. He expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1 quickly. Go back to Acts 1 quickly. Look at Acts 1. Acts 1. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, so after Jesus taught for 40 days, they asked him, bro, you have done your own. Where will you restore the kingdom of Israel back to a Jewish man? So it's like Nigeria being a country, and the president of Nigeria, or the president that is president of Nigeria, is from Gabon or Sudan. Yeah? So they were thinking that when Jesus was coming, it was to redeem that governmental presidential villa to a Nigerian. But Jesus did not touch it at all. Now, look, how do we know? If Jesus had taught it for 40 days, they would not need to ask that question in verse 6. What did he say in verse 7? And he said, we've done a Bible study on this. He said unto them, it is not for you. Yeah, but you are to know the times as the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to go into every sector with the message of the gospel and get people discipled. So your understanding of the gospel should reflect in your conduct. So we see that Jesus taught for 40 days. He didn't touch it, but now remember, they had access to the scriptures. They would have read Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Unto us a son is given. Or rather, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. They had read it in scriptures where he said there will be a government upon his shoulder. What happened? When Jesus resurrected, they thought the government would be the kingdom of Israel. Jesus said, no, that is not for you. So, God, Jesus is not in the business of leading people to politics. No, no, no. If you are a Christian and a pastor and want to go into politics and do all your campaign that you need to do. You know, it's very interesting that you see two Christians today who are Christians are praying to the same God for them to win an election. Yeah, two Christians today who are praying to the same God or the same Shango, let's assume, or let's say God, and they are praying to the same God for them to win the same election. So, indirectly, you're trying to say that the one who wins is the one God favored the most. No, 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 no. A lot of times, the one who wins is the one who does it, the one who does lots of manipulation. So, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus brought is a definite kingdom. The kingdom of his resurrection. In fact, go back to Matthew 16. Go back to Matthew 16 quickly. Look at Matthew 16, 13. Oh, glory to God. I hope we're learning something. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. Lots of questions to be answered concerning giving. Yeah, but we'll take it gradually. Yeah, look at Matthew 13, 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I am, or I the Son of God, or man am? What is he really saying? Who do people say I am? Look at verse 14. And he said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elias, and others are saying you are Jeremiah. Some others are saying you are one of the prophets. Jesus now said unto them, he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Look at verse Simon Peter. Look at Simon Peter in verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said unto, and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at Jesus' reply. What did Simon say? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That word there, Bar-Jonah, is son of Jonah. Yeah, Simon, who is the son of Jonah. Look at what Jesus said. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Take note of what Jesus said in verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Dear saints, God cannot build his church on Peter. God cannot build his church on Peter. Look at it, he says, and I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock that God builds his church is really what? On the revelation that Peter gave. So, what was Jesus saying? Upon this revelation, what is revelation? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this revelation, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. That statement there is not a continuous tense. Now, he has built his church. Why? Because he has resurrected. So the gate of hell did not prevail. He has built. So when you're saying, I'll build my church, it's not that, oh, you go and build your land in one place, FCDA come and demolish. You not say, oh, God said he will build his church. Gate of hell. No, that is, see, that FCDA is asking you to demolish your building is not gate of hell prevailing. No. I mean, in context of Matthew 16, 18. The gate of hell that was supposed to prevail is that if Christ had died and did not resurrect. So, Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, will not say, Jesus will not say to Peter that upon you I'll build my church. No. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. So, upon Peter's reply. So, Jesus has built his church upon resurrection. Hallelujah. So, the church has been formed. You and I, we are now members of the church. We are now members of the church. That means there are definite things that we are to do as a church. Now, remember, like I said, can a Christian go into politics? There is nothing wrong in that. Can a Christian campaign? There is nothing wrong in that. But like I said, a lot of times, if not most, people that win election need to do a lot of grassroots work, which actually means a lot of times you have to get yourself dirty. Amen. Yeah, find it in a place you have to believe. To believe that. Yeah, so go back to Matthew 28. So God has built his church. There's a responsibility for the church. He now says something upon building the church. Look at what it says in verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore. So now that the church has been built, we are to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yeah, that word there, teach, means to make people students. So, in fact, look at it. Remember we said something. Acts chapter 1 shows us that Jesus was teaching for 40 days. John chapter 13 downwards to chapter 19 shows us, you know, what Jesus was saying in his last days, last few days and upon resurrection and things like that. Mark shows us something in Mark 16. Yeah, but Matthew summarizes Jesus' 40 days in 3 verses. Verse 18 to 20. So, a good way to read verse 18 will be, and Jesus kept saying to them, or the context, or the content, or the message that which of what Jesus was saying, and I'm going to say it better. The content of Jesus' message was this: all power is given unto me. Go into the world, teach them to observe. This happened for 40 days. Matthew summarized it in 3 verses. So all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yeah, that word there, teach, is the Greek word that means to make people students, make people followers, make people disciples. He now says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you know, we've come to explain that as saints, what we have is the name of the Son. So, in the entire Bible, the only place you will see name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost is only in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Yeah, the name we have been given is the name of the Son. So, in the real sense, name of the Father is actually name of the Son. Name of the Holy Ghost is actually name of the Son. What is the name of the Son? It is the reputation of the Son. The accomplishment of the Son. What has the Son accomplished? That is his name. So, go ye therefore and make people students of that name. He now tells them in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He now gives an assurance, lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always. So the summary of 40 days teaching was, all authority is given unto me. Go and make people disciples. Then teach them what I have taught you. Look at it. If Jesus taught for 40 days and Matthew 28 is writing what happened in 40 days, it will mean that the meeting for 40 days lasted for 40 seconds. It doesn't take you 20 seconds to say, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach. No, it doesn't take you 20 seconds. But that is the summary of what Jesus was teaching for 40 days. Look at Luke 24 again. Yeah? We're trying to explain. We're trying to just lay this precept upon precept. Yeah, you bear with us, yeah? We're trying to lay this precept upon precept. Look at Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. What are the all things? The things which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms. The things which were written in the law of Moses. So look at it again. Verse 24. These are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What is Jesus saying? Before my death, the words I was saying are the same things which the law of Moses said, which the prophet said, which the psalmist said. So it means that when you go and read Moses' writing, you should think about Jesus. Yeah, so when you go to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, you should think about Jesus. Okay, in fact, hold your thoughts there. Go to John quickly. Go to John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5, verse 46. John chapter 5, verse 46. He says, Jesus said unto them, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Look at it again. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses wrote of me. So when Moses wrote, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, who was he writing about? Jesus tells you, if you believe Moses, he wrote of me. When Moses said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Look at it again. If you believe Moses, you will believe me. How do you get that? You know, we had a very abstract thinking class on Wednesday. You know, and I gave us something to think about. You know, We said, Moses was the first person to use heaven and earth in the Bible. We now ask a very interesting question. What do you call heaven? A lot of times you call heaven that which is above. Yeah, which is what you call the sky. But in the real sense, those of us that study geography, you study geography, you realize that Earth is a planet, right? Or we have several planets. So it means that people can travel out of the sky. So it means that when you travel out of the sky and look at the Earth, what they will be seeing is your heaven. What you call heaven, which is actually the clouds, or which you call the sky. Yeah, so we're trying to establish a few things on Sunday, and we're trying to establish how both heaven, which is what you call the sky, which is not where God lives or where God stays, and where you are staying right now, they are all on earth. Yeah, the sky, the clouds, where your plane flies through when you are boarding or when you are on a flight, both that and where you are, it is all earth. We tried to establish that. But Moses was trying to teach something using heaven and earth. In the real sense, he was preaching about, the immaterial realm, and the physical realm. Yeah, but Jewish people understood that better. You know, we tried to put a full stop on that in our thinking on Sunday. We'll continue that line of thought on Sunday. Yeah, but what we're truly saying here, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. So when Moses said, let there be light, and there was light, really, he wasn't talking about the moon, the stars, the sun. No, Paul tells you, light of the glorious gospel. So we see that, go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 quickly. Look at Matthew 28. We've quoted Luke 24. We've quoted Acts 1. Jesus was teaching concerning the kingdom of God. So it means that, if Jesus is saying all authority is given unto me, what would the authority be? It will be according to the scriptures. How do we know? In Luke 24:44, what did Jesus say? The things I speak unto you are the things which must be fulfilled, which what? Moses, the law of Moses, that is the writing of Moses, the prophet and the Psalms did write concerning me. So Jesus is the one that has the authority to explain scriptures. So when Jesus was explaining scripture of resurrection, he was saying, those things you see, they point to me. So all that he taught concerning his resurrection, they pointed to him about the resurrection. They were all according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So now, what did Jesus do to them? In Jesus' teaching, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go back to Luke 24. Luke's Gospel 24. See what it says? In verse 45, it says, Then open he their understanding that they might understand scripture. What does that mean? The first word there, open, means to open something up for the very first time. The second word there, that word there, understanding, means mindset. The second word, understand, means to put together. So a good way of reading for better understanding, verse 5 is, then open he their understanding that they might synchronize the scriptures. What did the scripture say? Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written. You see that scriptures. And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What should not happen? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Not God wants to take you from zero to hero. Not God wants to use your mess to create a message. No. The only mess and message that Christ, God did through Christ, is the message of repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That is the same narrative. You see, look at it. If you look at your Bible very well, you realize that. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is similar to what? Matthew 28:18. So Jesus is saying, according to the authority I have concerning scriptures or on the scriptures, yeah, repentance and remission of sins has now been accomplished upon my work, upon my resurrection. So we are to go forth to preach that. That is the good news of God in Christ. Yeah, the good news of God in Christ is not that you'll be wealthy tomorrow. No, that's not the good news of God in Christ. No. You don't need to have that good news from God in Christ. You know, think about it. There are a lot of services that we as Christians can attend, but the rich cannot attend. The miracles happen. Yes. Miracles happen. I mean, you know, I always try to emphasize on that. But miracles are not limited to Christians. You know, unbelievers, there is no miracle of finance or work that a believer has had that an unbeliever has not had. The only miracle that a Christian has or has received that an unbeliever doesn't have is the miracle of the resurrection. Hallelujah. So we see that he opened their understanding. That means there was something wrong with their understanding. Hallelujah. So he opened for the first time. So they saw scriptures, they had scriptures, but Jesus opened for the first time their understanding that they might synchronize, that they might put together. You see, a lot of us, we form a God in our own likeness and image. Yeah. Oh, our God is a mighty man of war. Yeah. What war did God fight? The war that God fight is the war he fought in Christ, in that he defeated devil by not raising his arm. You see, the victory of Christ is not in the fact. So when you think that Jesus died for 3 days, it wasn't combating anybody in any realm. No. The victory of Christ is seen in the fact that he submitted himself to be killed by men and God rose him on the third day. Yeah, God, there's no sword of the spirit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, there's no sword. There is no, how do I say it now that, you might have Ephesians in your mind. But really, Jesus did not take a sword to the dead and go and started fighting the devil. No. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Jesus defeated the devil by submitting himself to the wickedness of men, to be killed by men, for God to raise him on the third day. So when you say God is a mighty man of war, mighty man of valor, how did he fight the war? He fought the war in the fact that what men thought was weakness was actually strength. Yeah? What did men think was weakness? And you say you are God, yet men are killing you. Yeah? So they thought that was weakness, but that was strength. You know, we said over and over in church that strength is not seen in who you can beat or you cannot beat. So the victory of Christ is seen in the fact that he submitted himself to the wickedness of men. Men killed Jesus, not God. Yeah, so men killed Jesus, not God. So what did Jesus do? And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, where did he open the understanding from? Look at verse 24. Which were written in the writings of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So a wise student of the word needs to start at the beginning. A wise student of the word, a wise Christian needs to start from where your Lord and Savior started from. So where Jesus began, we should begin. Look at, backtrack to verse 25, 27 of Luke 24. Backtrack a little. Look at verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. Look at Luke 24, verse 25. Just backtrack a little. See what he says there. He says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses. So we need to start from where Jesus began. Where did Jesus began? Jesus began at the beginning. So Jesus began at the beginning of the beginning. So I'm beginning at Moses, which is at beginning at the beginning. Then all the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Habakkuk, Malachi, Ezekiel, and things like that. He now began to expound unto them in all the scriptures, these things concerning himself. So as students of the word, you know, I just did all this 15 minutes recap from Sunday's teaching to show us something very important. Yeah? What is this? As saints, we are to examine scriptures holistically. Yeah, all the 50 minutes we've done right now is just an introduction to the introduction. Yeah, we just went all around scriptures to see that what as saints, we are to start where Jesus began. Now, It's interesting to know that when Jesus resurrected, he did begin to say, this is where the nail entered in my leg. This is where they wiped me. They wiped me and the cane came out. This is the part. No, Jesus didn't say all of that. To prove his resurrection, he began at Moses. Look at it now. Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So he was trying to explain the sufferings he had just witnessed. Are we together? The sufferings he had just witnessed, he explained it, and beginning at Moses. Not, were your eyes paining you when they were flogging me? How will you say, no, he didn't do all of that. He began to explain himself from scriptures. Hallelujah. So, Jesus was teaching from the Old Testament. So, anytime Jesus was teaching, what they had as their Bible was what? The Old Testament books. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. At John 1. John 1 quickly. John 1. John 1 quickly. John 1 quickly. You know, we said something on Sunday. You know, God's word is communicated in human language, you know, but not human philosophy. Yeah? Not human philosophy. So, you're understanding what I'm saying because you understand English. Yeah? But there's a philosophy, there's a doctrinal slant behind what I'm saying that appears to you as common English. So, as saints, we have to pay attention to what? The language used. The philosophy behind the communication used. You know, this series we are doing, we started from Investigating Scripture Series 1. We started looking at God's Word, and figures of speech in God's Word, you know, how the wrath of God is not about God, how the anger of God is not found in God, and things like that. You know, we spent hours upon hours laying the foundation. Yeah, why did we do that? We did that really because of what we are doing going forward. In fact, you know, every time we meet as saints, we are explaining God's Word, we are expounding God's Word. Yeah, so look at John 1. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, that word there, Word, is the word that is Logos. Yeah? That word there is the word that is Logos. That word there is the word that is Logos. What does it mean? Yeah? It means a message, or a content of a message, or a thought pattern, or a systematic approach. I'll say that again. The word there, Word. So in the beginning was the message. So a good way to read John 1:1 would be, in the beginning was the message, and the message was with God, and the message was God. So Jesus is not God's messenger, but Jesus is God's message. And I think we explained that during the leading of the Spirit. Jesus is God, deity, speaking to mankind. So Jesus is the full expression of God kind. Jesus is the full expression of every vague or unclear seemingly information or knowledge we might have about God. What does that mean? It simply means that if you do not see Jesus do it, God has never done it and will never do it. The best of God that mankind has seen is Christ. So the message of God from Genesis 1 has been Christ. Salvation, 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 salvation. So, if you see Jesus has not killed one person, it means that what? God never killed in the Old Testament books. So, it means that we need to go back to the Old Testament books and reanalyze it. Is it Noah's flood? We need to reanalyze it. Is it Sodom and Gomorrah? We need to analyze it properly. Systematic theology. So, John is telling you something. In the beginning, a wise student of the word, we know that in the beginning, the first place you see that is in Genesis 1. So, when John was writing John verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 1, where did he have as his Bible? Genesis 1. So, if you see Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can that be summative for Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 3? What did Moses say? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you see? Word, message, word, message. Word, message. So, when you see word, you are not just speaking about mere words or mere words, but you're speaking about what? The message, the content of the words. So, when Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, don't look at heaven as sky and earth. No, the Bible doesn't make us wise unto physics or chemistry. Yeah, look at it. If you read Genesis chapter 1, and you think heaven and earth that Moses is speaking about is the sky and where you are standing, you've lost the importance of reading scriptures through the lens of Christ. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, 16. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Luke 24, 24. Yet Jesus expounded unto them the things concerning himself for Moses the prophet and Psalms. Luke 24, 44. Same thing. Matthew 28, same thing. So when you see John, in the beginning was the word, it means that John is most likely writing to explain Genesis. So it means that
Look at verse 4. In him, who is that him? Christ. Look at verse 2 again. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, what was Moses writing about? Christ. What was John writing about? Christ. Look at what he now tells you. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God said, let there be light. Look at the fact. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God said, let there be light. So in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was God's message. Yeah, the logos. So it means in Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we have God's message. So God's message from time has been, let there be light. I hope you're following. You see, now, let there be light is God's message. Now, you are hearing it from me today in what? In a language you understand. So I'm communicating God's message with your human language you understand. I'm using words that you understand to communicate God's message. So, where did Jesus start teaching from? He started teaching from Genesis chapter 1. We saw that in Luke 24. Where did Jesus start teaching from? All power is given unto me in heaven and to earth. Where is that from? Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning God created what? In the beginning was the word, rather. The word was God. What is the word? The message. So if you look at it very well, go back to Matthew 28 quickly. Matthew 28 quickly. Matthew 28 quickly. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 verse 18. So, a good way to read Matthew 28, 18 can be, and Jesus came and kept saying to them. How do we know? Acts chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 shows us that Jesus kept speaking for 40 days. So, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If you look at that, heaven and earth, that is similar to what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does John 1 tell us? In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was God's message. So, Moses was not writing about how the skies and the moons and things were created, but he was writing about, really, a narrative he was told by oral tradition to write about the new creation. So, Moses in Genesis chapter 1 is teaching about the new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it will mean that if, let me say better, if heaven and earth, we say Moses is teaching about the new creation, it simply means that Moses was teaching about what? Christ and the church. Or better still, Moses was teaching about the work that God, yes, in the immaterial or the unseen realm, will do on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you can as well say something. Yeah. So, it could mean that when you read Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. It can say that, you can as well say that Jesus is saying, Moses was writing about me. When Moses wrote it, it was about me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's pay a little attention to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start. I think we'll start explaining seed, what you call the seed. Now, before we go into this, let me make this clear. Not a single time in the Bible was the word seed used for money. Not a single time in the epistle was the word seed used for money. Not a single time in the Bible did Jesus use seed for money. So seed was either used for offspring, seed was either used for something you plant on the farmland. Yeah, so when you see Isaac sowed in the land, he did not sow a seed. Okay, let me say this way. Did Isaac sow a seed in the land? Yes. Did he sow a seed to his pastor? No. What seed did Isaac sow in the land that he reaped a hundredfold? He took a seed of a fruit, of a food, and planted on the soil. What did Moses use that to teach? Let's pay attention to that. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at that carefully. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, can we say, remember. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was God's message. So, when you read Genesis 1 verse 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Can we say that is God's message? Or can we say that is the gospel? What is the gospel? The Spirit of God has been made available to every nation all over the world, yeah, by the resurrection. So, what was Moses teaching about? Remember, never forget John 5 in this series. And going forward. John 5 verse 46, what did Jesus say? If you had believed Moses, you will believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote of me. So when Moses says, the earth was without form, and void, what was Moses teaching about? Moses wasn't teaching about where you are standing. Yeah? Jesus explains that in Mark chapter 4, which we've seen in scriptures over time. Right? Now, look at that. Look at verse 11 quickly. Look at verse 11. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters called it seas, and God saw it was good. Pay attention, saints. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Hold on. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Ideally, what should you have there? And the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. Better still, in our day and time, even if you want to give a human attribute to animals or things or, you know, non-living things, a lot of times we use her. Yeah, for instance, I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength, to defend her unity. Yeah, so even if we are giving non or inanimate objects human attributes, we use her. So look at it. So, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind should be there, right? But now, that was a mistake. His kind. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it shall be so. So there is a seed, or there is a herb yielding seed that bring forth fruits after his kind. Okay. We're trying to pay attention to God's word. Go back to chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, we're trying to, please. Yeah, no rushing. Yeah, one step at a time. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's know something important. Let's take note of something very important. See, that word there in beginning, now, that word in the beginning is a singular word in the Hebrew manuscripts. You know, in the Greek translation of the word is Bereshit. That's Bereshith. Bereshit. Yeah, but actually in the Hebrew, it is Reshit. Yeah, Reshith. So in the beginning is a single word. So it's not like there's a word for in, the word the, and begin. No. It is a single word, Reshit. That word there, it means like when you want to explain the origin of something or the coming into being of something. So that again, the word in the beginning, or the phrase in the beginning, is the word Reshit. And it's a word that is usually used to explain what the origin of something or the coming into being of something. It will make sense now, right now. Let me ask a very trivial question. A very interesting question. Tricky question. Yeah. God created heaven and the earth. Hold on. So, if we say that God stays in heaven, it will mean that God was somewhere before he created heaven and earth. So, it will mean that God was somewhere before God created heaven and earth. And it will also mean that God, what that theology means is that God created heaven for himself. No. Yeah. Moses used heaven and earth to speak about something significant. Let's take it gradually. Now that same word Reshit was used in Genesis 10 verse 10. Run me to Genesis 10:10 quickly. Genesis 10:10. That word, you see Genesis 10:10. See what it says there? It says, and the beginning, that word there, and the beginning is the same word Reshit. So, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Remember, what did you say Reshit is? It means to speak about the origin of something or the coming into existence of something. So, it means that in the beginning, it means that time is involved. So, there was a time that time began. Let me say better. There was a time that time began to be time. Did you get that? Yeah, there was a time that time began to be time. So, and the beginning of his kingdom. So, a good way to read verse 10 is the origin of his kingdom was, look at chapter 49. Genesis 49 verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Look at that again. Look at that. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. You see that word there again, beginning? The beginning is the same word, what? Reshit. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Beginning. First, something that is chief. Yeah, something that patterns others, or the beginning of something, or the coming into existence, or coming into being of someone or something. So, Jacob uses that same word. Moses tells us, yeah, thou art the beginning of my strength. Yeah, so we see that same word Bereshit is used for firstborn, or the first, or what is the head. So that which is the head, you can similarly categorize it under what? Reshit. Reshit is the Hebrew word. Bereshit is the Greek word. Go to Exodus 23 verse 19 quickly. So we've established Reshit to be what? The origin or the coming into being of something, or what? The beginning of the first or the head. Look at Exodus. Exodus 23. Look at Exodus 23. It says, the first of the first fruits of thy land. That word there, first, is the same word Bereshit or Reshit. Yeah? Check the Bible. You know, this is a Bible study, right? So that same word, the first. So it means that you can use that word, the first. Remember, Exodus chapter 23 verse 19 says, the first, the word the first, if you have a Greek manuscript, you see it as a single word, and the word is Reshit, beginning, the first. So it means that you can replace what? The first to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. So you can put in the beginning God created to be first. God created. Do you get that? Let me say that again. The word Bereshit, which is Reshit, is the same word beginning of my strength used by Jacob. The same word used for firstborn, same word used for the first of the first fruits. Yeah? So, the first can be, so you can say, Genesis chapter 1 can read, so if you want to have a translation now, we can say, first, God created heaven and earth. That word you see it as first is the same word Reshit, which is in the beginning. Look at Leviticus chapter 23 verse 10. Leviticus 23 verse 10. Look at Leviticus 23 verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits. If you have a Greek manuscript or a Hebrew manuscript, that word you see, first fruit, is the same word Reshit. So is it coming together now? I believe it's coming together now. I'll take it again. In the beginning is the word Reshit. Genesis 49 verse 3 shows us the word Reshit, used for beginning of my strength. Exodus chapter 23 verse 19 use Reshit, which is the first. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 10, that word, the first fruit. So when you see, and then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit. That first fruit is Reshit. Same word, Reshit. So, the word Reshit, yeah, is the word that means, it could mean the first, it could mean the head, it could mean the firstborn, it could mean the first fruit, it could mean the origin, it could mean the beginning of something, it could mean the origin of something, it could be the origin of someone, it could be the head. Are we following? Bereshit was used as firstborn, Genesis 49. Bereshit now used as first fruit, Leviticus 23. Same word, Reshit. Same word, Reshit. So, that word, the head, can be for what it is. So, imagine saying the head or the headquarters of an organization. Or the chief. Yeah, the chief. Altogether, let's look at a few variances of that word. Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. You see, this is why I said, as much as possible, pay attention to this series over the week, because it will make sense on Sunday. Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. Look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. You see that word there, heads, is like similar, what you can call synonyms in English, is a variance of the word Reshit. This word there is actually Rosh. So you can say Reshit as a synonym Rosh. That word Rosh is a variance of Reshit. So that word heads, and became into four heads. Right? Go to Genesis 3. Next chapter, Genesis 3 verse 15. You see, we said Reshit has a synonym, Rosh. Rosh was used in Genesis 2 verse 10 for what? Heads. What is Reshit? Beginning, first, used for firstborn, used for first fruit, all the same, head. Okay, so go back to Genesis 3, that where we were. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head. That word head is the word rosh, which is similar to what reshit, which is what used in Genesis 2 for head. So he shall bruise the head, the top, the upper, the chief. Yeah, I just gave you synonyms. He shall bruise the head, and thou shalt bruise the heel. So you see that's now remember, that seed will be the seed of the promise of the Messiah. Are we together? Now, let's look at that word Bereshit again. So that word there, Bereshit, means head. That same word was used in the Old Testament books. Yeah, so now, remember we established something. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which is equal to Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, which is equal to Mark 16, which is equal to John, yeah, all those ones equal, the summative teaching of 40 days teaching, we establish something that all power is given unto me is really saying all authority is given unto me. We said something important. Jesus was teaching from Genesis. Let's explore Paul a little further. Look at Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at this. Look at verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Take notes. Now, who is the image of the invisible God? He told us in verse 14. In whom? Who is the in whom? In Christ. Are we together? So in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Yeah, his blood is really his spirit. Even the forgiveness of sins. You know, it says, in whom, that same person in whom, in verse 14, is the same who is the image of the invisible God. When was the first time you saw the word image in the New Testament, in the Old Testament books? Guess what? Genesis chapter 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Remember, we are dealing with Bereshit. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. That word there, image, is the same word used in Colossians 1. Yeah, so image in Colossians 1 is equal to image in Genesis 1, 26. But the image is Hebrew, Genesis 1, 26, and it has a Greek translation. Yeah, the Hebrew is teslem or slem. T-S-E-L-E-M. Teslem or teslem, whatever. Yeah, T-S-E-L-E-M. The Greek of that same word is icon. That is E-I-K-O-N. That's the Greek rendering of the Hebrew rendering. So the Hebrew rendering is what? Teslem. T-S-E-L-E-M. The Greek rendering is what? Icon, which is what? E-I-K-O-N. Let's see something about that. Look at verse 7. So God created man in his own image. They're saying, that's not you, that's not me. You see, God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, and put in them a system to procreate. See, that's why you have children who are born the way they are born. That's why you have children who have things they inherit from their parents. That's why you have children who are born blind. You see, if you don't have a good understanding of scriptures, you will have a poor understanding in relation or in relating to things of life. So, when it says Genesis 1, 27, and God created man in his own image, see what it says next. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female, created he them. In the image of God, created he him. Colossians 1, 15, run back there. Colossians 1, 15, run back there. Colossians 1, 15, run back there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 14, in whom, Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? So when Moses told us God created man in his own image, Paul tells us the image of the invisible God is the in whom, which is in Christ. So Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, 28 was about Jesus. Jesus is the image. Icon, E-I-K-O-N, of the invisible. Check the Bible. Colossians 1:15. Colossians, check it again. Who, that is, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He now goes further. That says, the firstborn of every creature. Now, will that firstborn of every creature be the firstborn of every creature, or the firstborn of the new creation? Or the new creation? Look at, go at Genesis 1. Go at Genesis 1. Go at Genesis 1. Quickly, quickly. Genesis 1:26. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's try to carry a lot around here today. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. So you can put in bracket, the image of the invisible God is the man God created. So it means that Moses is writing about the new creation in as much as Moses is writing about the creation of God. Let me say that again. Did God create the heavens and the earth? Yes. Did God create Adam and Eve? Yes. But Moses is not writing for us to see the biology behind the creation of man and woman, but the Christology behind what? The creation of the new creature. Let me say that again. Moses is not writing to teach us about the physics or the biology behind God's creation of man and woman. But Moses is writing using that biological story he was told to write about the Christology or the Christocentric philosophy behind the new creature or the new creation. So Moses tells you, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Take note. Look at it. If you check the Bible very well, you see, created he, him. You now see male and female created he, them. So it means that ideally, those are three people. Are we following their sense? Are we following their sense? Are we following their sense? Look at it again. You have him, you have male, you have female. Look at it again. In the image of God, created he, him. After that him, him is a masculine gender. So you are seeing him, that's a personality him. You are seeing another male. Ideally, if that him was Adam, he should have said, in the image of God created he male and female created he them. No, no, no. He said, in the image of God created he him. So there is the him, there is the male, there is the female. What is Moses writing about? The him there is the image of God, which Paul tells you. We looked at Colossians 1:15 and we saw that Jesus is the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, so God created man in his own image. So you can put in bracket, the image of the invisible God, which is Christ. So he says, in the image of God created he him. There is the him, there is the male, there is the female. So you see three people mentioned there. So in him, that he him will be what Paul tells you in whom, which is in Christ. So male and female are to be found in Christ. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So when you see in the image of God created he him, that he him is Christ. Male and female. So if the him there was Adam, he didn't need to say him. He would have just said in the image of God created he male and female, created he them. In fact, there's no meaning for the created he them. So God's plan from beginning of time has been his message. Let there be light. What is the light? Christ. What is Christ? Offering forgiveness of sins. In receiving Christ, there is no male, there is no female. Hallelujah. So if we say that God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, what will be the God said unto them? It will be in reference to what male and female are to do in him. Let's try to carry a knot around here. Go to Colossians 1:16. Go to Colossians 1:16 quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Look at Colossians 1, verse 16. See what it says there. It says, Colossians 1, verse 14. In Christ we have redemption through his blood. That means the blood of Christ gives us redemption, that is forgiveness of sins. Yeah, a wise student should leave the food stuff there, not to put my money. Who is the image of... So Christ is the image of the invisible God. See what Paul tells you about. See what Paul tells you in that verse. He says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Now, will Christ be the firstborn of every creature on earth, or what? The firstborn of the new creation? Remember, Paul now tells you in Corinthians, just as Christ rose from the dead. He now tells you in Romans, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, which made him the first begotten from the dead, is the same spirit that dwells in us. Hallelujah. Verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heavens and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Dear saints, the things that are created by him and for him in reference to the new creation will be in reference to the work of resurrection. So the dominions, the principalities and powers will not be evil dominions or evil principalities. You know, we grew up learning that every time you just mention principalities and powers, you're dealing with evil people. No, no, no. Yeah. All these are found in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. Paul now tells you the invisible, the image of the invisible God, the very firstborn of every creature. Remember, let's recap. Remember, Reshit is equal to what? The origin or the beginning or the first or the head or the firstborn or the first fruits. What did Paul tell you? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Yeah, so Christ is the first begotten of the Father. In that work he has done, he leaves for us a template. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's end there. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, that is first, which is firstborn, first fruit, head, chief, beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So when you see God created heaven and the earth, what is Moses writing about? John 5. If you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. What does that mean? He's speaking about what? Christ and the church. So God's earth right now is the combination of men who have believed the gospel. Yeah. Don't hear what I didn't say. Hear what I said and put a full stop there for today. Amen. If you had listened attentively, you would have listened where I said that God created the sky and everything you see. But take note, God's earth will now be the heart of men who have now believed the gospel. What is the gospel? Let there be light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. But if our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom will not be Christ, right? The God of this world had blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. He now tells you again, who is the image of God? Should shine upon them. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 1, you see light, let there be light, is equal to Genesis 1:26, the image of God. So the light of Genesis 1:3 is equal to what? The image of God. Is equal to who? Christ. So the light of the... So when God said, let there be light, that Moses is telling you, the light he was speaking about is what? Let there be the light of the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned one or two things. Yeah. You see, the reason why we are going through all of this painstakingly is because we are heading somewhere. We can use as a church to teach first fruit, tithing, seed, everything within one service. Yeah. All we need to do is just to mention the major areas that are verses that people hold on to and explain them in light of God's word. We can as well do that. But dear saints, we are trying as much as possible to painstakingly go through scriptures. What is seed? What is tithing? What is first fruits? Yeah, so remember, the same word used as first fruits used as in the beginning, reshit. So, if in the beginning is speaking about a beginning, what is that beginning? Join us on Sunday as we fellowship in God's word. We'll take it a step further on Sunday. As I come away again, Jesus remains glorified. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I love you all. Stay good. Cheers.